Hello, and welcome to the Cultivate Podcast with our hosts Jennifer Howes and Amy Bloy. Both the Howes and the Bloys planted churches over 20 years ago in Atlanta, Georgia, and have a desire to see other women in ministry encouraged, equipped, and connected. On today's podcast, the ladies sit down and talk with Cindy Lake. Cindy and her husband, Mac, are pioneers of the church planting movement. They have planted churches and mentored many church planters. You may have heard of her son, Brandon Lake, who is an award-winning worship leader. Take a listen as we get an inside look at the Lake family.
Amen.
All right, so we're super excited today, Amy. We have our first guest,
yes.
And I would like for you to introduce Cindy and maybe share about how y'all met. You and Cindy met in ministry.
Okay, this is Cindy Lake. Hey. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Some people know you as Brandon's mom now, Brandon Lake.
Yeah.
We know you as my friend Cindy from many years ago. And so my husband Brian hired Mac at Westridge, and they worked on church planting together and developed the Launch Network, which they wound up giving away. And just tell us a little bit about whenever you guys first started your church and the beginnings of ministry for you.
Yeah. So, Mac and I have been married 37 years, and we, jumped into ministry from the very beginning. So our journey, you know, has been very creative. We've kind of traveled down around a good bit. But about goodness, what is it? Y'all just had an anniversary. Let's see, Brandon was 95. So around 1998, was it around there? We planted a church outside of Charleston, about two hours outside of Charleston, South Carolina. The exact same day, our launch date was when Brian and Amy launched Westridge.
Yeah, 97.
And we did not know. 97. Okay, I knew it was a long time ago. So we did not even know each other. We go back and we've said many times, man, we sure wish we knew each other. So, but our ministry, you know, God's just taken us on a journey. Mac has been associate pastor. He's been pastor and then pastor of leadership development, and then the incredible privilege to come work for Brian and create this church planning resource. And gosh, how God has blessed that by them teaming together with other men and women to create that we literally will last, I believe, forever and just keep getting better and better.
Yeah, I was part of the assessment team at Westridge and for the pastor's wives. And we used, and you were part of my training video. Yeah. You talked about the women.
Oh, wow.
And interviewing the women and all of that. So I learned a lot. And I actually loved getting to know this. I did six of them, the wives interviews.
Wow.
It was tiring, but it was such great curriculum. And I wish we had done a boot camp when we were in Texas before we planted. But I think having the curriculum that Mac and Brian wrote together is so helpful for all these people going out now and planting churches. It's amazing.
We were just talking before the podcast came on about how in the early days we were investing in a lot of these young pastors' wives who are just getting started, starting their churches.
Yeah.
And we had them all on the screen, and Cindy and I, neither one of us are technological, we had one earphone and it was on a little wire, you know, and I had one in one of my ears and she had the other one in her other ear. And we just sat there and said, this is crazy, but we'll look back at this one day and say, how sweet, you know, just connecting people who are doing the same thing and just walking and trying to, I don't know, just look back at what God has done and help encourage others who are starting out. It was a sweet memory.
So
very sweet.
Tell us a little bit about your family life, early family life with your kids and raising kids in a pastor's home, or maybe your early family days, what that was like.
Well, Mac and I, well, let me start with a story because it really kind of puts everything into perspective for us. This is what, thank the good Lord, he allowed us to have this experience. Mac was associate pastor at a church in Polly's Island. And we had noticed that we had people coming from Myrtle Beach a lot on Sunday morning, but they couldn't get involved during the week because it was just too far away. And so God just started stirring in Mac's heart, why don't we plant a church up in Myrtle Beach, outside of Myrtle Beach, towards Conway. And so I, of course, had no idea what in the world church planting meant, but I trusted Mac. I trusted his heart, his motivation, his walk with the Lord. And so if God was calling him to church plant, I was going to do it. So it was a process, took some months. And I remember he received his last paycheck and we had not any other finances coming in at this point. And it was his day off. And we decided to put all three kids in the car. Let's travel up. Just take to that the day, walk around the area that we wanted to plant in and just pray over the area and just start meeting people. So at this time, Brandon was 5, our Jordan was 3, and Bree was a year old. We buckled them in the car and along we go. Mac said, hey, I got a cassette, which shows you how long ago it was. Half the people that are going to hear this don't even know what that is. He said, I've got a cassette, let's pop it in and listen to it on the way. And so it was a pastor who was talking about church planning. And within 10 minutes, the pastor said, if you have small children, do not plant a church. Do not. And so we looked at each other and we said, oops, well, first mistake. So we turned that little thing off and we just said, you know what? We are not going to be a statistic. We are going to figure out how our family can thrive in ministry.
I love that.
And so, yeah, we literally had no idea what we were doing. But no matter what, we said, our family is going to be better because of ministry. And so we literally got incredibly practical. And we just had a discussion the rest of the way. What is it going to look like for our family? What are some principles that we want to live by, be characterized by? Because, you know, you never can hit a mark 100%. But what are we going to be characterized by so that it will keep our family growing, keeping us together, allowing them to experience God's love and his people loving them? So, we actually got really practical with that and just kind of came up with some principles. This is what we're going to do. And I will never forget, Mac would say over and over, we are going to have fun. We are going to have fun. And we stuck to that. And so we probably did some things a lot of people would not agree with. Like when we built our first building, we would let our children run amok in that building. It was actually a gymnasium during the week. And we would have family fun night with the staff and we would let our children play in the baptismal. And
I love it. We did
a lot of stuff. We wanted our children deposits of goodness in their heart because of being in church planning. And, you know, we saw it as a team calling. We did not see it as God calling Mac and Cindy. We saw God was calling our family to plant. And even though our children were so small, that was really a blessing for us because we were able to cultivate their gifts and exercising their different gifts as they grew up in different areas and being part of the church. So we had fun. Of course, there were challenges. And we could talk about that later. But we really, I think when God called us to an incredible church, Seacoast, that we're still at today, we all grieved because it was such a precious season of our life and our family's life.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about your role in the church plant. Like, you know, a lot of pastors' wives, we're all wired differently. And so a lot of times pastors' wives are like, they got to lead the worship team or do the kids ministry, or how did y'all, and we try to tell our staff, like our staff wives, you do what God has called you to do. And it's going to look different for you than another family. But what was your role at the early days, the church?
That's a good question. I learned very early on that I could not be everything to everybody. And my first calling in ministry is to my family. And before we had children, it was my ministry to Mac. And then as we had children, it was my ministry to my family. And I was very strong in that I will make sure that my family comes first, which means there were a lot of times I had to say no. And sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I'd get caught up in expectations and people pleasing. But as a whole, I really tried to keep my family first. And that is a full-time and overtime job because I felt responsible. We mamas feel responsible for them physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, everything. I'm actually staying at my daughter's house right now because her husband and Mac went out of town. And last night it was 9:00. We both were downstairs. I actually was on the couch because I was exhausted. And she was standing up feeding her starter because she makes this incredible sourdough bread. And she said, "It just hit me. I've been up since 5:15 this morning. And the only time I sat down was when Miller fell asleep on me. So I sat down on the couch for a few minutes. But there were neighborhood friends in the house." And she said, "So I know I sat down, but I really was so preoccupied on watching the other kids." And here it was 9:00 at night. And I'm laying out on the couch, not being much help. But mamas, anyway, our family, I felt like, was our first ministry. And some women have the capacity to do that and are called to have a career outside of the home. And that is incredible. That was not me. I learned early on my capacity of busyness and all that was very limited. I'm not a high energy person at all. And so I really focused on being a mama. And then I was, as my children got older and I felt a little more freedom, I was able to pour into women's ministry. And there's just so many things that come along with pastoring, of the unexpected counseling that you have to be a part of. And, you know, trying to balance a healthy staff and nurturing those relationships. I will say this. I always felt the pressure to lead a ministry, especially like the children's ministry. And when there was someone, when there was a gap, I felt like I would say, "Mac, I can do that. I can do it." Knowing that I really didn't want to do it, but there needed to be a body there. And so he would tell me, "Cindy, I get shot at all day long. People are coming at me all day. When I come home, I need you to be emotionally ready to help me heal my wounds so that I can be ready to go out for the battle the next day." And so for me personally, that meant I had to say no thank you, not at this time, to a lot of other things. So we just had come... We came up with some really strong boundaries around our family that would keep us in that space. And like I said, have the freedom to say, "No, thank you. Not at this time."
I love
one
that.
Of the things. Thank you. Well, it kept us going and it kept us thriving. And a lot of people might think we had silly boundaries, but it's what worked for what was most important to us. And I remember one of the boundaries that we had is that our evenings would be our own. And what I mean by that is we would eat dinner together every single night. Our children, because they were so small, that was easier to do. And we would have to redefine that as they got older and sports came into play. And but I think actually when Brandon started playing baseball, we were the only family that would do tailgating at a little third grader baseball thing, which probably looked ridiculous to other people, but I meant we were going to eat together before he'd go play ball. But we just, that time when Mac got home, that was our family time. We would eat together, we'd play together and do bedtime together. And so when Mac would have that occasionally once a month, elder meeting or that crisis, that was not what was the norm. And so my children didn't freak out like, gosh, Dad's never home. You know, they were able, it was not a huge transition. It was like, okay, Dad'll be gone tonight. So we just kept our family very, Mac would say, family that takes out the trash together stays together. And that's what we pretty much did. We stayed together pretty much on everything.
I love
that. So I don't know if that answered that.
So good. And, you know, it's like you're almost giving people permission to put their family first and to prioritize their kids and their marriage over their ministry. And that's so, that is so powerful. And now, like, I'm watching you do that with your grandkids. You're investing in them and just pouring into them. And I love that. I love to see that. And I'm learning just from watching, you know, what you're doing. And I was thinking about how you've always, like, what you wanted to be was a mom. You just always wanted to be a mom. And I know you have a story about that. And just as you and Mac were wanting to have kids and being in ministry, tell us a little bit about some of the pain that you went through while you were wanting to be a mom.
Yeah. Well, actually, my earliest childhood memory was 4 years old. I literally can see myself. I would push my baby doll stroller with my baby doll in it up and down our street at 4 years old. And that desire to nurture, to have children, just grew my whole life. And so when Mac and I got married, within the first 3 years, we went through 6 miscarriages. And it was so incredibly devastating because here, that was my deepest desire. And I would sit alone with the Lord and cry my eyes out. And one thing my mama taught me was, you can tell God anything, he can handle it. And so I would tell him, how I felt. I would just, my disappointment, my hurt, beg. But by the end of the time, every time I felt this sweetness come over my soul, that was the Holy Spirit saying, Cindy, I put that desire in your heart. My word says that children are God's greatest gift, in Psalms somewhere. I have it written down. Psalms 127. He said, I put that desire in your heart. And so I will fulfill that desire. But the journey to get there, you have got to trust me. So I would say, okay. I didn't know how. I didn't know if God would allow us to have children biologically, if it would be adoption or fostering. I didn't know what it would look like. But I was able to get up off the floor every time and say, I trust you. And sure enough, 4.5 years into our marriage, we had our first son, Brandon. And of course, like y'all mentioned, Brandon, he is a gift to our world. God is using him and his gifts in the most incredible ways through music. And we are truly blown away what God's been doing in his life. And he would tell you he is the first one that is blown away and can't believe it. It's truly God's grace. But had this incredible 9.5-pound baby and perfect. Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't allow anyone to keep him until he was 2.5 years old. The child never left my side 24/7. Incredibly protective. But after having him, of course, I wanted another child. And so I wanted a full quiver, as scripture says. And so we started to try again. And unfortunately, we had 3 more miscarriages. And so 6 total. And I remember Mac and I sitting down with the doctor. And they said, you know what? We don't know what's wrong. We don't know why you can't carry these babies. But we feel like you need to stop trying to get pregnant. And you need to do some testing. And we said, well, how much would that cost? And they said, well, the first, just to get it going, would be around, you're looking at $10,000. And this is 30-something years ago. So no telling how much it would be today. And it really just eliminates what's not right, what's not working. And so we left that office really discouraged, and we knew we did not have that kind of money. I stayed home with Brandon. We were one income family. And so we just said, God's got to work a miracle. And so it just so happened Mac was preaching through Joshua. And it was when Joshua was taking the Israelites across the Jordan River. And when they came up on the river, he said, I want you all, we're going to ask God to forgive us of our sins. And then we're going to walk through in faith. And by the way, when we get in the middle, I want y'all to pick up, I think he told the officials this, pick up stones. And on the other side, we're going to make a monument of God's goodness and his faithfulness. So we're going to walk through it in faith. And so that's what we claimed. We just said, God, we ask for a miracle. And whether it's a girl or a boy, we're going to name this child Jordan after the Jordan River. And side note, we were just with Amy and Brian, Mac and I, and we were baptized in the Jordan River.
Such a sweet moment.
One of those moments you will never forget. So sure enough, we had our Jordan, and he is the most tender-hearted, kind, compassionate, loves animals, loves people, creative, just like his brother, and incredibly funny. He's the jokester in the family. He keeps us going. He keeps us laughing. So this is really long drawn out. I'll try to hurry. Because he literally was an angel baby. And I remember rocking him at 6 months old. And I was rocking him, and I just said, God, I'm going to ask you one more time. Will you give me a little girl? And not only do I want a little girl, but I want a curly-headed little girl. And I'm asking because your word says to ask. And that's my desire. Give me a little girl. Sure enough, within a year, I was pregnant with Brianna and had my little girl and curly headed. And she literally has been the cherry on top, the icing and the cherry. She's my best girlfriend. She's an incredible mom and wife, and her heart is devoted to raising her children to be world changers and to love other women in her circles. And so I love watching her be a mama and a wife. And so God was faithful. The journey was heartbreaking and at times seemed unbearably hard. But God always would put me back in a place to where I could take the next step forward. And he would just say, trust me, trust me. And I did, and he did far beyond whatever we could ever ask or imagine. And I was just thinking the other day, Mac and I are really trying to be very purposeful in our grandparenting and coming up with three things that we want to invest in our grandchildren so that when we're gone, that we can literally say that we implanted in them. And so we've been talking a lot about that, and it hit me. Gosh, you know what? The Lord called six of our children home early, but yet he's given us six children, grandchildren, to invest in the rest of our lives. And I just think that's pretty sweet. And of course, I'd love to have more, but I don't know if I will, but I'm good with six.
That's sweet.
So when did you know that Brandon was gifted musically?
Ooh. Oh, it was not till after he was married. So he too got married at 20. Not till after that. So I remember he said, I don't want to do sports anymore. And I really can't remember the age. It might have been a preteen. And Mac and I were devastated because we love sports. I love being a cheerleader on the sidelines. I'm horrible at playing, but I love to be a cheerleader. And we really grieved. Little did we know, thank you, Lord, he did not choose the path of being a professional ball player, because he would have never made it. But he picked up a guitar. Mac taught him, I don't remember the initial chords. I'm going to say A, B, and C. I know it's not that. But Mac taught him the first three chords. A couple weeks later, Mac was like, wait a minute. You got to teach me. It truly, it's one of those things you never plan, you never expect. By God's goodness, for his plans, he just gifted Brandon. And it wasn't until he grew up, this is really a key, he would play on the youth worship band. And he found it something he was good at. And so, of course, he just continued to pursue that. And that would just build him up. And when we went to Seacoast, the church was so much bigger. He got plugged in there and literally started using his gifts as a preteen. And it just kept growing and getting better and better. But I'll tell you, when Brandon was leading worship, I thought you were saying, when Brandon was leading worship in the high school band, Mac would sneak in the balcony to listen. And Brandon never liked us being in the service because he said it would make him nervous. So Mac would sneak up in the balcony where he didn't know. And Mac said, I would pray so hard, Lord, please let him hit that note. Please let him hit that note, because he was not all that good. But, just God opened the doors years ago. Brandon's heart is writing music. That's really what he loves doing. And God's just gifted him in an incredible, crazy way. And opened doors. Brandon's never gone knocking. God just literally opened doors that would put him in the same room with somebody else. And he just got off tour with Bill Wickham, literally as a teenager. That was one of the men that Brandon would look at and say, gosh, I want to do what he's doing. And here they were able to tour together. It's just such a God story.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And I imagine as a mom, seeing his success, but that you can tell it's for the Lord and it's for his glory. I mean, there's nothing better mm-hmm. than seeing your child in in full-time ministry like he is. So it's got to be amazing. So surreal.
Yeah.
We love singing his songs at our church, and we're actually singing gratitude this week. We sing it a lot, but my husband said it's going with the message he's preaching this week. And so we're just grateful for him. And I just can't help but think about the intentionality y'all had. I loved hearing that about when they were young, that y'all were going to have fun. I just love that.
Yeah.
And so in Brandon's mind, serving God in church is fun. You know, I would imagine as a five-year-old planting y'all's new church that it was just part of who y'all were, and there wasn't any, I don't know, bad feelings toward the church because church took my dad away. But it was a very positive thing.
Yeah, like not worried about what everybody thought all the time. Some people get hung up on that. We can't worry about what everybody thinks. You just have to do what's best for your family. And I love that.
Yeah.
So what would you say to the, that maybe you haven't said, to the woman in ministry, whether it's the wife or the woman leading the women's ministry, like what's going to get us through? What's the call, you know,
advice? Yeah. Gosh. Well, the truth is, ministry is the most incredible opportunity to see God in real form, because ministry is all about seeing lives being changed. And truly, when you can say, I knew this person back then, but I have watched how God has worked in their life, and they are over here. This is like a totally different person. There is nothing like that. And there are so many wonderful things. Wherever Mac and I have been in ministry, we have been loved so well. But there have been difficulties. And God's word, he says that we're going to have trials. And but we have to, I wrote it down because it literally, James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Perseverance. Wow. That's what I would say to any woman in ministry, is that we have to believe that, God, if I persevere, I keep going, you've got me. You are going to take care of this relationally. Oh, so many things that happen relationally that just can knock us down and keep us stuck. I will honestly say the one thing, well, there's three things that have kept me grounded and given me the ability to persevere. And that's, first is my soul has to always be connected to God. And I know that is just such a churchy answer, but truly, God, his word says he is the shepherd and the overseer of our soul. Nobody knows me like him. And so when I've been hurt or I'm struggling with something, going to him first, getting into his word, and literally through every trial I've been through, I've had to get to the core issue. What is it that I need to cling to? What's the thing, Holy Spirit, you're trying to work in me? And scripture is all over my house. If you walk, matter of fact, my son-in-law walked in the house yesterday and he's at the kitchen sink and he starts talking about something. I start laughing because I had to claim a scripture yesterday to keep my heart in check, to keep me focused on God. And I put it on the kitchen sink and he was teasing me about it. So truly, there is no other person that knows you. He is the shepherd and overseer of your soul. And so staying totally connected to God is the absolute most important thing. And the second thing that Mac and I have always done, and that is allowing Mac to speak into my life. A lot of husbands don't share a lot of things with their wives because they want to protect us. We don't share things with our husbands because we want to protect them, and we don't want to put be a burden to them. And so we might hold back. But Mac and I never saw that as something that would work for us, because we would face different trials, challenges. We needed to go at it together because we are one. We're a team. And so I could always rely on, when I was down, he was usually up. When he was down, I was usually up. We worked together as a team. So going to God first and then sharing it with Mac all through the years, we've just always been completely authentic and open with each other and trusted the other's heart that they could handle it and help encourage, not save us, but encourage us so that we didn't get stuck. And then the last one is surround yourself by one or two women who you can trust. A woman who is healthy emotionally, spiritually, someone that will listen to you, allow you to pour your heart out, be a safe place that I can be myself, but in the end will guide me towards truth. Mm-hmm. And if you have one or two women in your life that you can do that with, you are very fortunate. You are very blessed. And we're not called to walk alone. And so I think women, particularly not just mamas, but to mamas, but also women who are holding the weight of a ministry, you've got to have an army around you and to help, just help keep you, like I said before, not to get stuck, but to keep moving ahead and to allow you to go deeper into the intimacy of God. And that's what I would say. That's cling good. To God, cling to your spouse, and cling to a healthy friend.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you so much for spending this time with us. And it's like we said, this is the beginning of our podcast, and our goal is to equip, encourage, and to help women connect. And you are first on my list. I said, Amy, you're friends with Cindy. She would have a lot to teach us just from a family perspective and church planting, all of that. So we're super grateful that you joined us.
Yes, we love you so much. Thanks for being with us.
Love you so much, Amy Bloy, and I so enjoyed meeting you again, Jennifer, and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Go be with your kids and grandkids.
Thank you for joining us today on the Cultivate Podcast. How cool is it getting an inside look into the Lake family? I love how Cindy reminds us that he is the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Staying connected with him is the absolute most important thing that we can do. We want to encourage you to keep seeking Jesus in everything you do. And don't forget to get connected with other believers, because having each other during those tough times makes those moments just a little bit easier. We hope that this episode leaves you feeling encouraged and inspired. Be sure to rate this podcast and share it on social media. And we'll see you on the next episode.